Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Are Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out will remind every student that they were made for more simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes, or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help with that. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Today on the You Are Made for More podcast, I am super pumped to introduce you guys to a magnetic, Jesus-loving, driven guy, someone who is serving the kingdom with everything he has and longs for others to know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus and long for community surrounded by others who love him. Zach is currently serving at Austin Stone Community Church in Austin, Texas as part of their Connections ministry, where he's going to focus on establishing relationships within his community through the Bible. More than that, though, Zach has a passion for relationships and seeing young men and women live into the life that Jesus has called them to, which is why he spent a number of years touring around the country, bringing a message about purity to middle school and high school students with the Unaltered Tour, formerly known as the Silver Ring Thing. I'm super excited for you guys to get a glimpse into the wisdom Zach Verrett has to share about purity. So we're going to dive right in. Here we go. Zach, welcome to the You Are Made for More podcast. Thank you for being here with us today. I kind of already prefaced our listeners who you are, what you're all about, but I want you to kind of give us a Spark Notes version of who you are, what you're all about, like where can we find you on a daily basis, fill us in on that type of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, originally. After high school, I joined this traveling ministry, did that for 5 years, and then last year moved to Austin, Texas. And as of about a month ago, I started a residency with a church down here, and am loving it, even though August is probably the worst month to be in Texas.
The heat is real. For
I get excited when it's like low 90s.
Oh my goodness. I would not thrive there. Can't move to Texas ever. Okay, awesome. So, and how old are you? Just tell our listeners how old you are.
I'm 25.
Okay, yeah, so you've done a lot in those years of life. Yeah, one, I like that you mentioned this traveling ministry that you were a part of. Now that we kind of have a little bit of background about who you are, I really want to dive into why I asked you to come on the podcast today. You have a great understanding of what biblical purity looks like in our lives practically and biblically. So you toured with a ministry that's now known as Unaltered, used to be the Silver Ring Thing. And their mission is to introduce students to the fullness of life, which I love. And the one reason I wanted to do this interview is because I think we as the church traditionally have a misunderstanding of what purity is and what Jesus says about it. There's a lot of misconceptions around that word. Maybe as you're listening and you hear us say the word purity, you already have some thoughts popping in your head about what it is. So I think you're the perfect person to break it down for us a little bit. But I want to start by asking you to tell us about your walk with Jesus. Tell us your testimony. What has your relationship with him looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great honor to be here and to even be asked to address this topic. But first of all, I always like grew up in the church environment. My parents were very intentional about just having us around Christian community. Went to a Christian school, just very involved in youth group, and pretty healthy family life. And so I look back and I don't really know when that moment was that God grabbed my heart, but there's definitely specific moments that I can point to that were very influential and that just drastically shaped my walk with God. I think really the first time being my junior year of high school is when just went through a lot of stuff. A friend passed away right before the school season started. We had just so much. I had so much anxiety and stress from school and pressure on that. And really, that was probably the first time in my life that I needed to turn to someone outside of myself, that I couldn't keep up the facade of a good Christian kid all on my own.
Yeah.
And so that was probably the first year that I like turned to God. I was like, hey, I need you.
Yeah.
And I think that really started a process of just really work. I joined this traveling ministry after high school, and I thought it was going to be a gap year and then go to college. And it turned into five gap years, if you will.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. So it was funny. It was a fun process, but really that first year on tour, I was just under like the leadership and direct discipleship. And really, I read this book by Tim Keller that really broke down the Gospel of Mark. And he was explaining these stories that I knew my whole life that I never knew that they were pointing to Jesus. And so it really made me question, like, man, do I even know what the Bible's about? That really allowed me to dive into scripture. And I think that's when God really revealed the gospel to me. And then really since then, it's been a sturdy journey, but it's been sturdy, not on my end. God has been faithful, and steady. And there's been a lot of change in my life and a lot of uncertainty, and don't really know always where the next step is or what the next year or two is going to look like. But I am blown away by his faithfulness towards me. So.
That's awesome. Just listening to you talk about that and your experience and your walk with the Lord and how it led you to doing five gap years you put it, how have you kind of come to understand how the Bible defines purity?
Yeah, that's a really important and great question. I think most of my life, and I would probably say that like most Christians define purity in the negative sense. And so when we think of purity, we define it as like not having sex or not looking at porn or not lusting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think at best, that's probably just a shallow understanding. And I'd say at worst, that's actually harmful.
Mm. And that's interesting.
Yeah. I would really define, or what I've come to understand purity as, is more of a identity rather than a goal that we have to reach.
Mm.
So purity can be defined as freedom from contamination or immorality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we really look at that definition, if the standard is purity is like perfection, then none of us reach that. You know,
yeah.
Even on your best days. And so when I think of purity, the only one that is actually pure was Jesus Christ, right?
Mm.
And then through what he accomplished on the cross, he took on our impurity, and then extended his purity to us. Yeah, so that's kind of like what I think is the most helpful lens to look through is as an identity rather than like what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, Zach, can you outline some places in the Bible that have led you to that definition that you shared with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one I would go to is just kind of 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it just says, "For our sake he became, or he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And that's just a very short, a concise way of saying that, like, God was perfect. He was without sin. And that God extended that righteousness to us. And then the second one, which we can dive into a little more, is Ephesians 4:19-24. And it says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to the sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But it is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so I think there you have a really clear picture of this putting off and putting on. We think of like an identity, you can almost think of it as like a t-shirt, where you have this sweaty gym t-shirt that is disgusting and nasty. And every morning you decide to put that on, like that's nasty and whatever. But that's, you don't have to, right? And like we have been given a nice clean shirt.
Yeah.
Right. And that we have the choice to put that on. And that's what, because of what Christ has done, that's what he calls us to do. And so that's like, whatever, that's a bad analogy, but you get the point. The imagery is strong in that. It's this action of putting on and not working our way up to obtain purity or to earn it, but living in it. And then I think too, we think of purity specifically with sexuality. And I don't think it's less than that, but I do think it's more than that. Because we are broken in every way. I mean, Romans 3, it tells us that no one is righteous, that all have sinned and fallen short. And that's not just sexually, it's morally. And then even in our absolute best attempts, like we still fall short. And so this identity doesn't just affect our sexuality. It does affect our sexuality, but also affects every area of our lives. And so you look at the lens of identity and purity through who you are now. And Christ tells us that we've been given his righteousness. We've become a co-heir with Jesus. And so it's a sense of like, we have the identity of royalty. And so you can go as royalty, you can go play in the mud. Like you're allowed to play with the pigs and get all dirty, but that doesn't mean you're not royalty.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's important to remember, like, this identity never excuses our sin, but it actually should like fuel our efforts to not sin.
Yeah, that's so good. I love, first of all, how you talked about putting on that new that's a great analogy, putting on a new t-shirt. Like, first of all, that's a choice, and second of all, once you do that, you're empowered to live like Jesus did. And I think sometimes we like underestimate that we have that power inside of us, you know, and we let all of these distractions and temptations kind of weigh on us heavier than I feel like they have the right to, you know, because we do have this choice to put on this new clothing of holiness and righteousness. So that's awesome. Tell me how, because I can tell that you've like really thought out this idea of biblical purity. You shared where it comes from in scripture, which is super helpful. Tell me how you got, like when you got involved with the Silver Ring thing and Unaltered as a recent high school graduate, like, did you know what you were getting into? Like, how did that happen? And then what's your favorite story from your time there?
Yeah. So I went to events in middle school. So I knew about the ministry, since middle school, my youth group going, and it's based out of Pittsburgh. So, is fairly like well known around the area. And I, didn't give it much more thought until I was about to graduate high school. My dad was, I didn't know what I wanted to do, or where I wanted to go. My dad reached out to someone that works on staff to get his advice on college. And, and he mentioned this travel team, and my dad basically proposed it to me as like, hey, well, if you can't figure out where you want to go to college, why don't you take a gap year and travel the country? And I was like, that sounds great. So into it, I went out and visited with the team for an event, a nearby event, and just felt like this was a group of people that I wanted to be around. It's kind of a community I wanted to be around. And so it was really, one year at a time that I decided to do it, and always thought it was my last year, until my fourth year, and I was like, yeah, I know there's two more years, but yeah. So yeah, it was every year was kind of wrestled with the same decision of should I do it again, but really throughout it all, like felt God's just calling me back, to it. So.
Awesome. Their events are awesome. I was not a Christian growing up, but when I became a youth leader, the youth groups I was involved with always attended your guys' events when they would be hosted in Pittsburgh. So, I have seen transformation happen there with students that I've worked with. What is like, this idea of transformation is popping in my head, but like, what is a conversation you remember with a student who was at the event that like was really eye-opening and encouraging to you? Because I'm sure there were some events where that didn't happen. But I think it's awesome to hear about times when it did.
Yeah, there's so many stories, so many memories, like good, bad, and ugly. Sure. And I was trying to think about, like what was, if I could pinpoint one, and it's hard. There is the one I keep coming back to, probably my first year on tour, and we did this school assembly in a small little town. I don't even remember the name. It didn't even have red light in the town. It was just like,
wow.
Yeah, it was just pretty small. And we did a school assembly event to promote, the event we were doing, the next evening. And, there was like a little demonstration, and there was a kid from the audience that went up there, and you could just tell, that he was not having it, just really hated what we were doing, and just pretty, like, didn't want to be there at all. And actually, I was taking photos, and so I have a photo of his face while he is up in that demonstration, just like, nope, not having it. And then, ended up coming to the event the next night and, giving his life to Christ.
Wow.
I again was taking photos and was looking through the photos and saw him. And at the end, he just had this incredible smile on his face.
Mm.
And it was just like, like, to have these photos side by side of, like, evidence of, like, life change was incredible. And just, I think the whole, my whole time has been, just surprised by the way God has used a purity event to actually transform lives. And it's not because we put on a good show, and it's not because we're awesome and are super Christians, but it's just because God in his graciousness has decided to use us. Just crazy stories like that.
That's awesome. I think the cool thing about these events that you were a part of is, like, the gospel is presented at them, like, through this lens of relationships and purity. That story about the two photos is so cool, because I think, again, the only explanation for the difference in them is that that boy realized who Jesus was and what he had to say about him, you know? So, yeah, that's awesome. Thinking about kids that in culture today, like, that are in public schools, might be a part of youth group, or maybe they're not, what do you think is the most damaging thing that has the potential to affect their purity?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it goes back to identity. Mm-hmm. And I would say that because we are, especially today, are encouraged to have a self-definition, even from a young age. What do you feel you are, and allowing your desires and your emotions to, and your sexuality to define you as first and foremost.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, honestly, like, our emotions and our desires and our feelings, it is shaky and it's not stable. And so when we put all of our eggs in that basket, when we find our identity on something that's not sturdy, I mean, it can be very, very damaging. The reason that we centered our shows and events around the gospel is because it's not only the first solution, but it's also the daily solution. Because it's what God has done for you. It's the identity that he's given you, and it's the power to live that out. And so when we find our identity in someone greater than ourselves and the one that actually created us, then like, that is the only sturdy foundational thing, and is way more sure than what we're feeling or, yeah, who we could be.
Yeah, so say, I agree with you totally. Say there's, like, a young guy listening to this. I am a big fan of, like, practical tips of seeking, how do you see, you're seeking to walk purely, but, like, you know what the Bible says, you believe what it says, but, like, how do you do that practically? And that's a big question, but, like, do you have boundaries that you recommend that, like, you've set in place? What are, like, some ways to really live this if you desire to? Because it's hard today, you know? Like, how do we start to shift our lives to reflect what we believe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a huge thing for me that took me a while to learn was that the goal is not purity.
Mm.
Right? The goal is to have more of God.
Yeah.
And in that pursuit, it looks like becoming more and more pure and living into this identity that we've been given. But so much of my life, I sought behavior modification. I sought the outward appearance of purity when just had a lot of impurity, and sin that was hidden in my life. And so I would probably say, like, the things that I wish I would have heard or early on was that I wasn't alone. I thought, I can't ever tell anyone that I'm struggling with sexual sin because I am the only one and I have to keep up this facade of good Christian kid. And I mean, when I started to expose that, I realized, man, we are all broken, right? And we're all struggling in areas of sin. A couple other practical things is accountability. I mean, I cannot tell you where my life would be without the men that I have in my life. I think it's a misconception, and it's, I mean, a lot of men feel like they have to, or even young boys feel like they have to be strong to be men, and can't share emotions and feelings. But I would just really say that that is a lie, and that is that is harmful to think like that. And for me to have like one or two like closest friends that are seeking this along with me, and just being real with them and just sharing struggles and sharing life, man, that has drastically changed and challenged and encouraged my walk with God. And then I'd say spend time with God and in his word. I think of Psalms 119:9-10. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. So it's not just this negative, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. It's with my whole heart I'm seeking after God, right? I'm seeking after God and through his word. I mean, God has revealed himself in the tangible words of the Bible. And so if you want more of God, if that is the goal of this life, is to look more like him and to live into this identity, then let's dive into what he has for us. And I think lastly, just say like God does not want you to simply not look at porn. Like God wants you. God wants you. And, like just surrender that to him. He's not looking for what he can get for you from you. But he just wants you. So.
Those are all really good. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that, like you said, I think that like behavior modification is such a myth, and like we think if I can just stop doing this sin, like my heart's gonna be good, you know? But like, yeah, God doesn't want us just to stop doing a certain thing because we know that we should, and because we know that he doesn't want us to do that thing. He wants us to get to know him more. And I think that through that process, automatically your behavior is going to change because you get to know more about this person that came to earth, died for you, and gives you that new clothing to put on. So that's really good. And last question I have for you as we're coming up on our time is really like when you hear the word unaltered, like this group that you were a part of for a long time, what does that mean to live unaltered? Like what does that look like? Because I think that some people hear that and they don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say like unaltered is it's living in the obedience to like God's unaltered design, and trust that has the most flourishing of life. To remain the same, unaltered, is defined as like to remain the same or unchanging. So we're not shaken by this world. We're not shaken by, culture and the things, that are happening around us, and the things that we're being told we have to be or live out, because we are striving after God and his truths. And like I said earlier, that is that is the only sturdy and unshakable thing. And so trusting that he created us and that because he created us and the world and sexuality, that living in the way that he designed it is actually the best and the most leads to the most flourishing.
That's a really good definition. Yeah, I think that I just love that message because I think it aligns a lot with what we talk about at You Are Made for More. It's learning who God is, who he says you are, and in turn, like, who does that make you, you know, like, what, where is your identity found? And encouraging people to live unaltered is a huge part of that goal. So Zach, thank you for sharing with us. This was awesome. I kind of want to point people to like where, cause you're doing this residency in Austin, which is awesome. Great opportunity. I want to point people to like your social media pages, to kind of follow along with what you're doing in ministry and all of that. So where can people find you online?
I don't think I'm that cool for people to follow me, but it's Zach C. Verrett. Z-A-C-H-C as in Charles, Verrett, V-E-R-R-E-T-T.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out and like really praying about this and preparing to share this message about purity. I think that this is going to transform a lot of people's definitions about how they're seeking to live in their relationships. And I'm just thankful for your heart on it and for sharing. So you're the best. Appreciate you.
I really hope that you guys enjoyed this conversation on the You Were Made for More podcast today. And I encourage you, if you haven't done so yet, to check out our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Our handle is at Abundant Life YM. You can follow all the content that we put out about healthy relationships, sexuality, dating, and scripture there. And if you would, if you haven't already, can you rate this podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it on? It would really bless our listeners and it would bring the You Are Made for More message to more people. So we would love if you could do that. Other than that, thank you for tuning in. I'm Sammy Gallo, your host, and we will see you next time.